Well, John chapter 15, and let's drop in at verse 26. Okay, John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. But they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. Let's have a little word of prayer. Maybe just want to pray for Pat's son Jamie, his teenage son. Not Pat Dunphy, Pat Bentley. Pat and Sharon there, their son Jamie is in hospital, and he's got what appears to be a very serious viral infection. So we just lift him up before the Lord. And just tell you, Dave Galvin finished his chemotherapy on Friday. I was talking to him Friday evening, and he's just so thankful everything has gone so well. So he has another 2 to 2.5 weeks before he can get home, but he's feeling good. So let's just pray for this. Let's pray for Jamie, and just remember Dave as well. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it does lighten our path. It does help us, O God, to know you more. Hallelujah. In fact, it is your manual. Hallelujah. For the Christian, it's your manual for the world about yourself. And we, just as we turn to it, we want that manual to teach us how we tick a bit better. Lord, teach us about yourself, hallelujah, a bit better. Yes. And Lord, round out our lives in fresh new ways. Lord, we thank you for Jamie, and we ask you to bless him as he's in the hospital. Lord, bless him with healing in his body, hallelujah, with clarity in his mind, with wholeness of spirit, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. May you come to him, Lord, in powerful ways. May you redeem him completely, Lord, hallelujah. The knowledge he has, may it come to a fullness, and may he know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Lord, we thank you for Dave, and Lord, how we've prayed for him, and Lord, we just pray, O God, still, that you will continue to minister your life to him, that this old cancer, Lord, would not just be gone, but be gone never to return again, that he would live out his years, Lord, free from this affliction, in the name of Jesus, free to serve you, Lord, free to lift you up, hallelujah, free to glorify, free to declare you once again from this platform, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we turn to your word. May it open our hearts and our lives, Lord, just for you to do fresh new things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. And if you remember, this last number of times I've been speaking, I've been talking about our identity. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? And I've covered various things. I did kind of a couple of weeks on loving, hallelujah. There were two different messages, but that was basically what it was. The one I did on destiny, being destiny's child from the life of Joseph on Christmas Sunday. And this morning, whatever, there's no more of the morning left, it's midday already, but I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because our identity, who you are, is very much wrapped up in what Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. And he said that he had to go. But when he went, he wouldn't just go and leave his people up to their own devices or back onto the law again. He would send another helper. He would send the Holy Spirit. So he sent the Spirit of Christ. He sent the Spirit of God. He sent the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit has come to do certain things. These are no particular order, just as I thought about them, wrote them down. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to do through every Christian what Jesus did on earth. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has come to enable us to do the things that Jesus did, and more than that. Hallelujah. The work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus to everyone on earth. Hallelujah. So that no man is without excuse. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead and to guide you through life according to his word, according to the word of God. And I want to cover some of those things just in the time that we have. But there's a key phrase here, and I think it's important that we grasp that. In verse 26 it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Okay, that's the New King James Version. I don't know what your version says, but in my version it says, "He will testify of me." Hallelujah. So when the Holy Spirit comes, everything he's going to do is going to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to do anything that doesn't lift up the name of Jesus. He's not going to do anything that doesn't glorify the one whom the Father has sent. He's going to lift up Jesus. He doesn't come to exalt himself. He comes to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the first thing he does to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in any person's life? Well, the title of my first point is salvation. He comes to bring salvation. In verse 9, it says that he will come and convict the world regarding sin because they do not believe in me. The first thing that he does is come to convict the world of sin. You see, sin separates from real faith in God because we don't believe in him. And if we don't deal with that question, first of all, the way we worship God is going to be in a religious way. It can be in a traditional religious way, or it can be in a Pentecostal religious way. And it's good to worship and to glorify God and to honor God, but unless that key question has been dealt with, you can heal all the sick you like, you can speak in as many tongues as you like, but your sin is not dealt with. And he has come to convict and deal with the sin question in the life of man. He has also come to convict the world regarding righteousness. You see, when you place yourself beside another, okay, now I have Guitar and Josephine sitting at the front. The reason why nobody sits in these seats is because I use them as illustrations. So Guitar may say, you know, I'm not so bad compared to her. And Josephine might say, well, I'm not so bad compared to him. And we compare ourselves to each other, don't we? Or other people across the room, or other people we work with, or our neighbours, or whatever. But do you know something? The Holy Spirit came to convict the world regarding righteousness. When Jesus walked the earth, people were convicted because he was the righteousness of God. Now the Holy Spirit comes, and whenever we stand in comparison to God, his righteousness brings conviction upon us. So the Holy Spirit shows us the standard. And we realize, according to God's law, that we break that standard all the time. It's always broken. So Jesus didn't go and say, back to the law standard. No, he said, hey, it's Holy Ghost time. So conviction of God's righteousness will come into the world and has come into the world and is in the world at this very present time. So when he comes to us and we're seeking him and God says, I need to do something here, they're not ready for this, there's this little issue, that little issue, what will he do? He won't bring condemnation on you. You're not as good as such and such, you're not as good as that. He will say, you're not as good as me. And we know that he's perfect. And it won't come as condemnation, it will come as a conviction that we need to change. And because we're his children, we want to please him. And we want to do what is right. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would be the one who causes dissatisfaction in our lives. Right, hold on a second. You see, he convicts the world regarding judgment. And because the devil has been destroyed. The devil, what's the very words it says there? Because the ruler of this world is already judged. Now you see, what happens is, no matter what we're into, that cannot satisfy us. Only he can satisfy us. Why is that? Because that thing is already judged. Now before you were a Christian, or before you had any thought of Christ, or even as a Christian struggling with things, like I'm going to ask any hands up, anybody who now before you put your hands up, I need to qualify. I'm going to ask you for hands for anybody who has had a life controlling issue. It could be drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. It could be perfectionism. Okay, life. There's a life controlling issues. You were maybe a law righteousness person. Maybe you were so religious you couldn't get enough of whatever religion you're into. It was a life-controlling issue. Hands up who had life-controlling issues in their life. Okay, there's a good lot of us had life-controlling issues. And I guarantee you that those of us who didn't put our hands up, we've had life-controlling issues. And you know what it is? When those life-controlling issues are part of our lives, no matter how much we steep ourselves in them, we can't get enough of them because they don't satisfy.
Yes, that's right.
Because judgment has been passed on that thing, on that stuff.
Amen.
And the devil has been judged, that's causing you to keep you in it because you're a slave to Satan. And he has been judged as well. So the Holy Spirit comes and brings conviction.
Yes.
So if you have a life-controlling issue that you're still struggling with, you might be free or you're free-ish, and every time you dabble in it you feel bad. And I will say hallelujah. If you felt good, that would be a problem. But you feel bad, and even if it makes you feel good for a moment, it still doesn't satisfy you, because there's only one who can satisfy. We are made to be satisfied. That thing that we're doing, we're trying to satisfy an area that only God can satisfy. We're not made for that stuff. We're made for him. Hallelujah. And we will look for everything else. See, when salvation comes, God sets us free from sin and death. And I want to talk about a little bit about that for a moment. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would be the one who dwells with you and will be in you. Chapter 14 and verse 17 says, Jesus said, I will pray in verse 16, I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he comes to convict you of sin, righteousness and judgment, revealing the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you bow the knee to him, then he comes in to you, to live within you, to reside within you. And the promise for you is that when we're not in the flesh any longer, but in the Spirit, we are not under any condemnation anymore. It says in Romans chapter 8, and verses 9 to 11. I'm not going to read them. But it says, when you're in the flesh, sorry, I just can't remember the exact words. Yeah. It says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't care how much activity of good works or religion that we have activated in our lives. We cannot please God. It's only for those that are in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, the Word of God says here, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if you have the Spirit of Christ, hallelujah, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So therefore, when you're in the Spirit, you please God, hallelujah. Just as when we're in our flesh, we couldn't please God, but now we're in the Spirit, we please God. If Christ has come to dwell within us, we're in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So you know what happens? When God looks down, because God is Spirit, when he looks down through our spirit. And when he sees the life of Christ by the Holy Spirit in us, he's pleased with us. Hallelujah. Now, he's not always pleased by what we do after that. But the initial reflection in our spirits is Christ. Hallelujah. And he's pleased. He's pleased with you. If you're a Christian, God is pleased with you. Hallelujah. And you can't please him anymore. And he cannot be less pleased with you than he already is, because Christ has done it all.
Amen.
So he loves you with an ever-dying love. He honors you before the angels in heaven and before all creation. And even if men do not honor you, God honors you. Hallelujah. And it's all because of his Son. It's all because of his Son. But not only are you pleasing to God, but you are also sealed and live under guarantees. Hallelujah. Recently we bought a car, and I took out a little bit of extra cover on it in case it broke down unexpectedly. And it's a guarantee in case something bad goes wrong. And you see, when the bad stuff goes wrong in our lives, as invariably things happen because we're in the world and bad things happen to people, we're not excluded from things happening to us. Each day has its own difficulties. It has its own pleasures, but it has its own difficulties. So when those bad things happen, it's good to know that we have a guarantee. It's good to know that we're sealed. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13-14 says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I have it written down here. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Hallelujah. And it's not an earthly inheritance that you can buy and sell, but it's a heavenly inheritance that cannot be bought and sold. It's stored there for you in heaven, waiting for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you're sealed. There's a guarantee. Hallelujah. And that you haven't even bought and paid for it. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has bought and paid for that. It cost everything that heaven had to bring that to you. But to you it comes as a tremendous gift. And the Holy Spirit guarantees that. So when the bad stuff is happening, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit is there to say, I'm your guarantee. Hallelujah. I have sealed you. Hallelujah. Trust in me.
Yes,
and all will be well with your soul. Glory to God. And it also comes with a little add-on. Hallelujah. You know, our church insurance just paid it there this week. Comes with add-ons. Okay. So if I give Guitar wrong advice as a pastor and he takes me to court, I'm covered. Hallelujah. Do you know what I mean? There's add-ons. There's assurance that everything's going to be okay. It'll be okay for me, Guitar. I don't know about you. But anyway, there's add-ons there. And the add-on is in Ephesians, or not, sorry, in Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, that the gospel did not come to us in word only, but also in power. It came to us in word, but it's not word only. It came to us in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Hallelujah. So, Paul, when he spoke to the Thessalonians, he spoke to them the word of God in power by the Holy Spirit with much assurance, because he knew that he knew. Hallelujah. And it came to them and it came into them. And God gives us assurance that we're right with God. Hallelujah. Brings an assurance. If anybody tells you that if you've submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking with him, hallelujah, each and every day, and even if you go off the rails a bit, if you're born again, hallelujah, you're right with God. Amen. And I honestly, because I've always had an assurance, no matter what I was doing, right or wrong, that God was with me. And Darren there, he was away from the Lord for years, but he's often said to me, I always knew that I belonged to him, hallelujah. Amen. Even though he wasn't walking with the Lord. Because there's something inside that tells us that we belong to him. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, gosh, 15 minutes left. Okay. Key phrase, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that you're right with God. It's 24/7. Even when you're in dream world, it's working for you. Hallelujah. God doesn't take a rest just when you sleep, but God is always, always keeping you assured of your eternal security. Hallelujah. And it's a tremendous blessing. And it's done through the Holy Spirit. Now, the thing I want to say to us is this, that very often Christians, when they get to that point, they know they're saved, they read their Bible, they attend church, but you know, their lives never seem to progress to any degree. A lot of Christians are like that because of various reasons that happens. And the Holy Spirit hasn't finished, not just in the work of salvation. And I've down here that many believers find it difficult to get beyond the salvation place. Or if they get beyond the salvation place, the things that happen as they try to walk with God by the Holy Spirit brings them back to the foundations, and they can't seem to get over the things that have happened to them. And the Holy Spirit has other essentials that make us true Spirit-led people. There's many of them, but I only want to cover whatever I can get covered in the time I've left. And if we don't start to walk in the Spirit, we become simply law keepers that were filled with rules and regulations, and we seek to apply those to others. I would call us law-keeping worldlings. We operate in the flesh. There's no difference between us and the people out there who don't know the Lord, except that we're saved. And, you know, God is gracious and good, but he wants us to rely on his Spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit is the agency that he sent that we should live our lives by. And there's only one Holy Spirit, just as there's only one Savior and one God the Father. So the first thing is the filling with the Holy Spirit. There's many different terminologies used for that. And in Acts 2:1-4, it's a seminal scripture regarding Pentecostal teaching in this area. It says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. In John chapter 15 and verses 26 and 27, it says that the Spirit who proceeds from the Father will testify of me. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, the Spirit that proceeds from the Father will testify of me. Testify about Jesus. But then the little verse after that, it says, and you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. So his disciples would also bear witness. How are they going to bear witness? Are they going to be sort of secondary to the Holy Spirit, that their words will just be sort of fluttering in there behind the Holy Ghost, testifying? Or were they to have a significant place? And I believe they were to have a very significant place. The Holy Spirit testifies to the world all the time. But he takes the believer and empowers him and fills him to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the Spirit power working, as we testify, they're just words coming out of our mouths. And see, Paul said he came with speaking the gospel with words of power. Words of authority. So what happened that they became different? Well, it says in Luke chapter 24:49 that Jesus said, or she said to them, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And the reason this power, this authority was to come upon the believers was so they could be witnesses. It wasn't so they could glow in the dark. It wasn't because they would somehow become more holy. Although when the Holy Spirit does move upon us, there's a holiness that arrives to us. The essential thing was for us to testify, to be his witness in power and authority. The word in Acts, when it says the Holy Spirit came upon them, is, and I've spoken this word before, it's a word called elethontes. In the grammar, it's in the genitive case, which means of the Holy Spirit. If you have a Greek lexicon with the English above it, it will say of Spirit, of Holy Spirit, of Spirit, not the Spirit. So there's power came down from the Holy Spirit to us. It isn't a fresh endowment into us. We already are Christians, hallelujah. But there's an empowerment that comes. It's of the Spirit, hallelujah. And it testifies about the wonderful works of God. I want to think about my neighbour, Pat, next door, who won't talk to me now since he saw me in the streets when I was sharing in the streets. And he passes me by. No, he doesn't want to talk to me. From one time we're in the streets and I was speaking to him, just met him, and I was speaking to him about the Lord. But I think about Pat, my neighbour. I think about some of my relatives. I think about one or two friends. I still have. I have one or two non-Christian friends. Not many, no. All my workmates are Christians. But I'm just asking you to think about them for a moment. Maybe a relative, maybe a neighbour, your friends. How are you going to impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The word must come under the power of the Holy Spirit to them. Can't come any other way. You need to seek God for a freshness, for an anointing. The one that you got initially isn't enough. The one that I got initially is not enough. There needs to be a constant infilling of the Holy Ghost to empower us for living a life that gives glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know what will happen if it's under the power of the Spirit? Yeah, they'll fall under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and get saved. They will be convicted regarding sin, righteousness and judgment. Doesn't mean to say they're getting saved. But hopefully they will. Hallelujah. But you need to speak to them in power and in authority. And one of the statistics is first contact can take 5 years. before the person comes through. That's a statistic. But I tell you, when the Holy Ghost starts to move, all those statistics go out the window. And God moves sovereignly by his power. Hallelujah. Endued with power from on high. A filling of the Holy Spirit. So important. How are you going to testify with effectiveness unless it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit's doing it? Do you not think God would also empower you as well? The other thing that the Holy Spirit comes to do is to bring us comfort. Verses 5 to 7, and I think these are really poignant words. But now when I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? They were absolutely terrified. They were worried. You know, suddenly he was going to, none of them. They don't want to ask. They don't want him to go, full stop. And he says, the Lord says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Hallelujah. And I think these are emotive words. The word speaks as sorrow has filled your heart. And you know, when there's a lack of Holy Ghost operating in our lives, sorrow is one of the things that we're filled with. A lack of peace, a fear, and a lack of understanding about all that's happening. And he says he sent a helper. The Greek word is parakletos. It means many things. It means comforter, consolation, encourager, exhorter. It means the Messiah. Another interpretation can be that it's just the Messiah, only in a different way. So this helper is the same as Jesus, only it's the third person of the Trinity. And he can be everywhere at the one time, helping me, helping Bernie, helping you. You know, sometimes, a lot of the time, we need a friend who's closer than the closest person that we have. Because nobody understands us as well as God the Holy Spirit. See, when God was creating man, said the Spirit was there hovering, when he was creating the heavens and the earth and man, he was there, the Holy Spirit was there hovering over the waters, over this mass of incoherent mud called earth. It was without form or void. And sometimes that's the way our lives is. It's a bit incoherent. You know, it's a bit like, oh Lord, what are you doing at the moment? Like, you know, Lord, you know, it seemed so good there for a while, but hey, it's a bit misshapen now. The Spirit comes. The Spirit has to bring comfort into a situation. You know, when the Spirit breathed, when God breathed ruach into man and became a living being, the Spirit came in. You know, the Spirit that gives us breath, physical breath, has always been on our being to keep us breathing. But then the Spirit that redeems us, hallelujah, the same Holy Spirit touches our spirit, makes us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of the time we need that kind of friend that knows us from the inside out, because even our spouses don't know us completely, neither we them. But the Holy Spirit does. And he's the only one that can change our perspective on life. You know, Jesus is the friend of sinners. Hallelujah. So he doesn't mind about what you've been into. He just wants to put it right for you. Your pain, your sorrow, is as bad as childbirth. Sometimes. Only a woman as a child can understand that illustration. But it says in verse 21 of chapter 16, it says, as a woman when she is in labour has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. Now, this is talking about the Lord returning again, that he will, there's going to be in birth pangs, and I'm going to return. But you know, every situation we are into or get into, negative thing, we go through this labor, we go through this thing, we need the thing to be birthed, we need it to be, and there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with it, the negative stuff, the bad stuff. And it seems as if the bad stuff is what's on the surface all the time. That's all we can see. But you know, God is looking at this beautiful bundle that's going to come forth. Something is going to be birthed that's powerful and mighty. Hallelujah. And it's the investment of God the Holy Ghost in your life that's going to do that. And you need the Comforter to show you that there's something good is happening to your life, even though all you can see is the mess and the difficulty. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Comforter wants to come. He wants to come to console you. He wants to come to encourage you. He wants to come to exhort you to keep going. Don't grow weary while doing good. You're waiting for this thing to break forth. It's painful, it's anguish, it's horrible. But hey, I'm on the case, the Lord says. Hallelujah. It can, and it should become a present joy. It becomes a joy. Hallelujah. And one of the major issues in Ireland and probably all over the world that people have, whether they're a baby, dedicated Andrew this morning, or a senior person who's lived most of their lives, they can look back and they say, do you know something? I wish that my father had been different in some way. Now, you maybe don't think that on your mentality, but whenever you get to know better, you want other things for yourself. And the problem is that what fathers are supposed to bring is a sense of security above everything else. That's what a father is supposed to be. To their children and to their spouse, to their wife, to bring a sense of security. That they're like a sentinel, they're like a pillar, they're like a solid person. They never leave them or forsake them. That feeling that they're always going to be there. And fathers, if they do, sometimes fathers are pretty dead looking, you know, compared to the mothers. You know, they don't have seem to have a lot. But you know, they're there. If they're there, and they're solid, well, hey, the lot can be built on top of that good foundation, that solidness. And you know, when the Comforter comes, he wants to express himself like our Father. Hallelujah. Like our Heavenly Father. In John 14 and verse 16, it says these words, and I will pray the Father, hallelujah, that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, dwell with you, abide, dwell, live with you. That he give you another, the Father will send him, it's coming from the heart of the Father, and he will be with you forever. He will always be with you in every moment. He will not be separated from you, but he will be with you. Hallelujah. You know, my father was a great man, solid man of God. You know, he never told me that he loved me, ever. He was a great man. It's one of the things. And I always remember not being told that. It's just funny that. Sometimes you remember the things you weren't told. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do, Ruth, when she was small, little baby, I used to go over to the cot. You won't remember this. And I used to tell her I loved her. And then when she got older, I'd say, and funny how when she got older, it was harder for me to say it because she knew. Do you know? But do you know why I did it? Because I never heard it. Now that was just one little thing. And that can bring a tremendous security. The thing that you know that maybe was lacking. But do you know something? Our Heavenly Father, he loves us all the time. He's with us forever. He dwells with us forever. He is here with us. When the Holy Spirit comes in that way, he's sent from the Father, he brings aspects of the Father's generosity in never leaving us and never forsaking us. He will be a parent to you. I don't mean a parent as an APP, but a parent. He will be a parent to you. In John 14:18, it says these words, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." What Jesus is telling his disciples, look, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm coming to bring to you all the stuff that you need. And I'm going to be a father to you. Hallelujah. And the greatest cry from the soul of every believer is, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Abba, Abba."
Yes.
Cries out. We're looking for that. We're looking for parenthood. When God came down to walk with Adam in the cool of the day and he couldn't find him, he says, "Adam, where are you?" "I was afraid." Mm. And we're looking for the God who says, "Do not fear." Mm. And one of the things that God will always say when he comes down, the first thing he will say, apart from "peace, be still," is, "Do not fear." Because he knows that fear separates. He says, "Don't fear, your Father is here." Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit, he's here to minister to you. And as I often say, whatever was lacking, and even whatever is lacking in me as a father, I trust God the Holy Spirit to make up the difference. Whatever was lacking in your father, and good and all as our fathers are and were, there's always something lacking, and we need God to make up the difference. Oh, the last one, I haven't time, have to finish, is that we are taught by the Holy Spirit. Just very briefly, it says, verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." I'll just read that little bit of it. "He will guide you into all truth." Most Christians are not primarily taught through the purity of the Holy Ghost. And I'm no exception. We're taught by our culture. We interpret Scripture by our culture. We interpret Scripture by our religious upbringing, even if it's an evangelical one. And it's interpreted through that. It's also interpreted by who we are as individuals. So if we have certain natures and characters, we may veer towards a certain theological stand rather than maybe someone else. So women tend to think, I'll use the genders, I don't want to divide men and women, but women tend to think much more compassionately than men do. Whereas men say, "That's the way we're doing it, there's going to be no other way." You know. Now you see, both are right. But when both go to extremes, the harshness of the male way of thinking sometimes can be very so dogmatic that it kicks a life to touch. Let them get on with it. Whereas the overwhelming compassion that can come through the feminine side of things can accept everything, you know, without having any standards whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying either. Those are two extremes. You may not be that person, no matter whether you're a man or a woman, but that's the extremes. And what I want to say that, you know, God's faithfulness is new every morning. Hallelujah. He is here to teach us and guide us and direct us in ways of righteousness for his name's sake. Let us be open to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're saved, hallelujah, but he needs to be able to teach us, because we cannot learn unless we're taught by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed, hallelujah. So how are we going to receive it unless it's breathed into us? So if I stand and teach on the Word of God, or anybody else stands here and teaches on the Word of God, it must be breathed into our spirit. Otherwise, it's only head knowledge. And you speak it through your mouth. But hey, it has to come in to have any effect into our spirits. And it's there to guide us into all truth. It's there to tell us of things to come. Hallelujah. To show us the shape of things. that are likely to come. And the Word of God will glorify Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up Jesus. When it comes by the Holy Spirit, it will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we often sing this chorus, "No, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And it's easy to sing it, isn't it? But if you have bass of big mountains, you're going to need the Spirit of Christ, not the arm of the flesh. And when Jesus spoke, with this I'll finish. When Jesus was speaking to all this crowd of people that was with him, in John chapter 6, and he says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there's no life in you." And man has interpreted that literally, forgetting chapter 6, verse 63, which says, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit," hallelujah, "and they are life." And you see, when man interprets a thing according to his own thinking, he's like Nicodemus, "How can you go into your mother's womb again? Can't be born again." And that's how theologians very often think, if they're not endued with the Spirit of Christ. So we have to be taught by the Spirit. Saved, hallelujah, glory to God. Filled, praise the Lord, glory to God, to be a witness. Accept him as your comforter. Accept him as your exhorter. It's one aspect of the living Christ within you, that he comes alongside of you and he helps you through all your trials and difficulties. He guides you every day through every circumstance. "Hey, my child, I'm leading you down this road. It's a way of the wilderness, but out the other side is a much better place than the way you're going now." The way of the Lord. Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit for 40 days of testing and trying. Allow ourselves to be taught by him. He alone can guide us into all truth. And even though we submit ourselves to the teaching of God's word, we need it infused by the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, our identity is all tied up in the work of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, let us be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided people. Let us, Lord, be people who, when we open your word, that we allow your Spirit to speak to us. That we don't bring who we are. We don't bring our culture. We don't bring our tradition. We don't bring our religion to it. We say, "Spirit, speak to me through your word." Lord, I pray that we would truly be a people who know our God and are prepared to do exploits in your name under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song just to finish up. And if you want prayer for any particular aspect, maybe if you want to come forward while we're worshiping God for prayer, please feel free to do so. Okay, thank you very much.